We've been doing a sermon on, I guess I initially called it on commitment. And the longer that I've been preaching on it, the more that I'm seeing it's a message on commitment. But you know what the overall theme, that at least that I'm getting out of this? You may be getting something different. But what I'm getting out of this is that make sure your decisions are already made. Make sure that you already know what you're going to do even before it happens. Make sure that you have already committed 100% to God. So no matter what comes your way, it's not even it's not an emotional response. It's not you based on feelings. It's based on, I've already committed to God. This is what we're going to do. And so you just do it. And we're seeing that in the life of Daniel. And we're seeing that in the life of his friends as well. So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. What I've been doing is we've been starting each one of the sermons with this verse to kind of begin. I've been throwing at you all different kinds of versions. I think last week was, like, I think, like the Good News or something like that. Or this week is the English Standard Version. Why do I do that? I do that because I want you to know that there are lots of different translations of the Bible. Some of them are very accurate translations. Some of them are more paraphrases. But they allow you to dive into the Word of God and receive in ways that you may not be able to if you tried to read the King James. The King James sometimes is not an easy read, but there are a lot of other versions that you can dive into that will give you what you need. So they'll have it behind me too. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which we just did, right? Worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing, how did we learn about last week, right? The different tests that we face. So that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here we are. We're going to be back in the book of Daniel this morning. And as I mentioned last week, I find this kind of cool. Last year in January, we spent, I think, the first month learning about Joseph. How many of you guys remember that series? Remember? We did, like, the life of Joseph. Well, now we're doing the life of Daniel this year. And I'm telling you, it would be fun. Go back and read the life story of Daniel again, and just in your spare time. You will see so many parallels between the two lives of just what they went through in life, how God was with them, and just how God was able to use them to impact the nation that they were in. So we're going to start this morning. Last week was Daniel chapter 1, so this week is Daniel chapter 2. So turn your Bibles, Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. It'll be behind me as well. So it says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Now, let me give you some background about what's going on in the book of Daniel. Now, to be honest, things have gone pretty well for Daniel since we've last talked. Well, other than the fact that they're still captives, they're still prisoners of war, you know, and they're still serving the king that kidnapped them and took them from their homeland. But I mean, other than that, all right, so that's kind of a big thing, but other than that, things really have gone well for them. Matter of fact, they have risen in favor with the king, and they're actually were given positions of high authority. They were high influence in the king's court. They were considered part of the king's group of wise men. Now, that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Now, what we're going to learn quickly, though, is to be considered part of the wise men isn't always a blessing, because you know, we read in verse 1 that the king had a dream. It would have been kind of funny if we did that last week, because it was like right before Martin Luther King Day. I thought that would have been kind of funny, the king had a dream, you know? But this wasn't a good dream, though. This was a bad dream. Matter of fact, it bothered him so much that he couldn't sleep. And he called in his wise men. I mean, the wise men were like mystics and magicians and just the smartest people the king knew, that they were the people that were in the wise men. So he called in a group of them and said, I had a dream, it's not good, and I want you to interpret it for me. So the wise men were like, sure, not a problem. Tell us your dream and we'll give you the interpretation. Now, the king said, no. I'm the king. So what I want you to do is, you're wise men, so I told you I had a dream. You tell me what the dream was, then give me the interpretation. So the wise men were like, are you kidding me? They're like, king, you can't do that. So that's not possible. So king, just tell us the dream, and then we'll give you the interpretation. So they kind of have this back and forth. The king gets mad. He's not happy with this, because he's like, no. He goes, I want you to prove to me that you're wise men. So if you're really that wise, you know, you tell me the dream first, then interpret it for me. And they're like, but there's no one who can do that, king. No wise man can do that. The king gets so mad, he basically makes an executive decision. He goes, that's it. I'm killing all the wise men. You can't do, you're supposed to be my wise men. You can't do the job. Well, you know what, then what? Why have you here? So I'm killing all of you. So in verse 13, we literally see, so the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought out Daniel and his companions to kill them. See, unfortunately for that group of wise men, Daniel wasn't there when the king, asked him all this stuff. Daniel and his friends weren't there, so they were kind of in trouble. And so Daniel finds out, I'm going to die because I am part of the wise men team. And it's interesting because it seems that no matter what Daniel does, things don't work out well for him. I mean, remember last week we learned that he was kidnapped from his home country and moved all the way to Babylon. He didn't do anything wrong. The only reason why that Israel was conquered was because the fathers, basically that generation, they didn't serve God. They turned their back on him. Daniel didn't do anything wrong. And obviously we learned from last week, he was a follower of God. And not only did he get in trouble for the sins of his parents, but why was he chosen? He was chosen because he was a good-looking, strong, smart guy. Does that sound fair? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. So basically, if he was flabby, didn't work out and didn't study in school, then he would have been safe. But no, he did the right thing, and he's now in trouble. And then it gets all these things that happen. And so then we learned last week is that the king says, you have to eat my food. Well, he doesn't want to defile himself. So he says, no, I'm going to honor God before men, no matter what the cost is. So he didn't do anything wrong. If anything, he's doing exactly what we would expect someone who follows God to do. But he's getting himself in trouble. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had times in your life when you believe that you're doing everything right, yet still things go wrong in your life? In your mind, maybe you've been faithfully tithing. You've been giving offerings. You've been doing what the Bible says to do in regards to your finances. And all these bills come out of nowhere. And you're like, I don't have the money to pay for that. Or have you ever met someone who, has been maybe they're extremely healthy person. They exercise, they eat right, they do everything right with their physical body. Yet still, they end up with maybe a disease or physical problems in their body. But, in their minds, God, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. How can this happen to me? I'm doing what your word has asked me to do. Maybe you're like the model employee. You do your job with excellence. Whatever your boss asks you to do, you do. You're the first one there. You have a great attitude. You're like the model employee, but you get laid off. And you're like, wait a minute, God, that doesn't make sense. All the things, that you've asked me to do, I've done. We get it when we make mistakes in life, right? If we were late too often to work, or if we really, never exercised and we were in bad health, if we never tithed, we didn't give offerings. We know that there are consequences to bad behavior, right? We all agree with that, right? It's going to happen. And so, you know, if we're living, you know, in storms that are the product of us making poor decisions, we may not like it, right? But we, at least we understand it. Now, how do you take it when a storm comes out of nowhere and you did nothing to deserve it? Nothing. I mean, but it still hits you full blast. But you've been doing everything that, you know, you were supposed to do. And that's what happens to Daniel. I mean, he's been doing everything that God's asked him to do. Everything. And it seems like, I mean, first it's the food thing, and now he wasn't even there in front of the king. He wasn't one of the guys who said, I can't interpret your dream. He wasn't even there, but now he's going to die. So what do you think Daniel does? Well, I mean, he could have just gotten angry with God, right? God, are you kidding me? Again, you know those wine sessions, complains? You know, I did this, I faithfully do this, I've done this. And what's that bill from? Why did I get laid off? How come, you know, I have, you know, this disease or this thing has attacked my body? Or why are my relationships like this? Maybe that's never happened to you. That's happened to me in my life. I mean, he could have just, picture this. He could have, you know, all right, everyone's going to die. Picture this. You know, he runs home to where, like, you know, his friends are, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? All right, guys, grab your stuff. We got to get out of here. You know, we weren't in the king's court at the, you know, it was a bad time to take a vacation day, you know, but grab your things and we got a book because if we don't, we're going to die. He could have just ran, right? He could have because he was given a warning, you know, and he could have just took off. He could have just marched into the king's court though, right? I just wasn't there. I'll march into the king's court and I'll set him straight. I'm a man of God, you know, and you know, if I was there, you know, this never would have happened. You know, so king, you know, you probably would have been the last thing he ever did, though, right? You know, uninvited into the king's court. I learned that didn't go well in that period of time. But see, if we are people of low commitment, which means the decision to talk or to act or the decision to have a godly attitude hasn't already been made, then when emotional or big storm situations come, we could have done any of those kind of things or probably could have come up with a bunch of other options. See, low commitment people, they've not already decided what they're going to do. They go by feelings. They go by emotions. They go by whatever just kind of fits the mood for that moment. Aren't we glad, though, that we have a Daniel as an example? See, when we behave like Daniel, when things go wrong in our life, even when it's not our fault, God gets glorified. I mean, let's continue. Verse 14. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he may show the interpretation to the king. Now, there's some cool words in there. Prudence, discretion, requested. You know, we see Daniel behaving just like he did in chapter 1, right? Discreet manner, soft words, gentleness, humility, modesty. I mean, some of you may not be surprised, right? Because that was the way he was before, and so he's kind of following the same pattern. But don't forget, see, at the end of chapter 1, Daniel and his friends were promoted. They're now people in high positions. You know, they're now over people. They're now ruling in Babylon. And you know what I've learned? People whose commitment level to God is kind of low, they're always at risk for ego and pride issues. You know, as soon as God elevates them, woo, baby, you know, they're naming and claiming and fighting and, you know, setting people straight. You don't see that with Daniel, right? What I've learned is that Daniel shows a high commitment to God, but still approaches people in a loving manner. right? Rather than just speaking the truth. See, I'm learning, speaking the truth in love does so much more than just speaking the pure, unbridled truth, right? Haven't you noticed that in your life? I mean, it's let's say you cut your finger and it gets infected, all right? So you now have an infected finger. You know, there's a difference between cleaning the wound and chopping the finger off, isn't there? I mean, well, both do the job. I mean, they do. I mean, one leaves a permanent disability, right? They does, right? One leaves a permanent disability, you know, and the other one positions for healing and restoration, right? Don't use the truth from the Bible that just cut things off. But in love, clean the wounds for restoration. See, I see a lot of angry people in this world, marching for what they believe is right. And you know what? I think that's great. Stand up for what you believe is right. But truth and love, clean the wound, bridge build versus rather than bridge destroy. Two different methods, right? Which, how many of you have ever argued someone into submission? And they thanked you. Thank you. You set me straight. I feel so much better now that I've seen the light. And I want to be like you because of how your verbal, you've just, wow. Can I follow you? I mean, has that ever happened? No. Truth and love, prudence, grace. See? All right. Let's, verse 17. Let's continue. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So that Daniel and his companions may not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. See, high commitment people, they understand that God is over every area of their life. They get it. So naturally, instead of running, instead of complaining or anything other than complete 100% trust in God and in his plan, what does Daniel do? He gathers together the family and prays, seeks the face of God. Now, I want to emphasize again what we don't see. We don't see, you know, people in the right trying to rally people against authority. Do we see that? No, we don't. We don't see people on the right taking things in their own hands and maybe trying to escape. We see them packing? No, we don't. We don't see people in the right whining and complaining to God. We don't see that. We don't see them getting angry, right? We see them getting on their face. We don't see people on the right giving up because things get too difficult. We don't see that. Instead, I see someone whose complete faith and trust is in God. And you know what? They don't leave the prayer closet until God either gives them the answer or the guard knocks on the door and says, okay, time's up. It's time to behead you. Now, why are they able to do that? Because the decision was already made. It was already made. They were all in. It was either God shows mercy on them and gives them the dream and the interpretation, or they were going to die with the reputation of being people who've given God everything. Wow. Now we're going to be spending this week kind of as a time of prayer and fasting. And I asked you last week to spend some time asking God what you should be fasting for and what you should actually fast. Sometimes I think it's obvious. There are just certain things that are happening in your life that God makes it pretty obvious. This is what you should be praying and fasting about. Other times, it's more directional. You know, God, I don't know what's going on in my life, and God, I need to hear you. I need to hear your voice. I need to know, God, what's going on? Where am I going? I don't think you should just normally fast just to fast. Fast with a purpose. I look at it this way. It's like doing a bunch of extra chores at home if you're a child. You know, let's just say if my kids all of a sudden started doing some extra chores at home and I didn't ask them to, well, after I picked myself up off the floor, and I probably would walk over to them and say, all right, why are you doing this? Yeah, what's going on here? And as with most kids, it probably would be like, well, there's this movie that if it's okay, I wouldn't mind going, or there's this new pair of sneakers that just came out that, you know, or this, there's this new sports team and it starts on this week. And if it wouldn't be too much trouble, you know, I wouldn't mind. I mean, rarely do we do things without a purpose, right? We don't. And as a dad, I get it. I understand it. I do. It's not like I'm not going to thump them, you know. I get it. I understand. But let me give you a different perspective, though. It's fun as a father when my kids do something extra just to honor me, just to bless me, and really, truly expecting nothing in return. And as a dad, I can tell you this, I can get pretty creative. I'm telling you, my kids, whether they understand it or not, can get blessings that their minds wouldn't even know. Matter of fact, in their minds, I wouldn't even think of that. I wouldn't even have thought of to ask for that because I thought it was too big. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm dad. You're not. And that's the way our Heavenly Father is. Now, this morning, I kind of want to give you a glimpse into some different people's prayer lives. Because if we're going to be spending some time in prayer and fasting this week, what I've done is I've asked some of the board members to come up and we'll see how many I have time for. Because I only told them like 3-ish minutes. Now, if one of them goes really long, then I'm going to have to cut it off and keep going. But we'll see. But what I've asked them to do is to basically just share with you what they do on a daily basis for prayer. And then I asked them if they would give one example of a time when they were in prayer that God spoke to them. And I want them to share with you what they did with it. You know, it may be a great victory dance. It may be literally I didn't listen, and I had to learn from that experience. But I want you to see just some different perspectives in regards to prayer. So I'll start with you, Jen, since you're the closest. Jen, why don't you come on up and can you do it in 3? You hope so?
I'm planning on it.
You're planning on it?
Can you put that on there, though?
Oh, you want it up here?
Sure.
You want some water or anything?
Morning. Okay, I will try to make this in the 3 minutes, but I was really excited to have this opportunity. About 4 months ago, I was having some discussion actually at a board meeting, and the discussion led me to realize that I have been wanting other people and other resources to kind of fill me with God. Come to church, go to small groups, have my daily prayer, listen to K-Love, be on the dance ministry, board member, and I kind of wanted all that to inject me with God. And I realized that's not the right way to go about it. And so I realized that it's about me and my time and my desire to have more of God in my life, not to want others to give that to me. So started to just kind of reevaluate what I was doing. And I brought these up, and this is an example of what my devotional life looks like. I started reading the book, Battlefield of the Mind. I highly recommend it. It's very good. Got more into my Bible. I have my scripture note cards, my journal. And I brought these up because this, to me, is like the most important. I listen to worship music when I'm having my devotion time. And to me, especially if these are in my ears and it's not just playing out here, I really feel like God is talking right, singing right to me. And I don't do these things at this point because I have to do them. I do them because I want to do them. And there's a big difference there. And I look forward to time with God now. I don't feel like I have a time constraint. I don't feel like, I don't do all of these every single day, but I do some of them every single day. And again, it's because I want to. One thing that I do that I don't have an item up here for is when I am driving to work, I pray and chat with God my entire drive. I work in East Hartford, so I have a while to do that. And long story short, there is a big spiritual battle in my building, and I work with teenagers who have some troubled backgrounds. So I pray every day that God will go before me and be in my classroom specifically, but for every single room in the building, God is going to be there. His presence, his authority, his power is going to go before me. A couple months ago, this doesn't really touch on the way Daniel prayed and got a word from God, but I guess I could say I often get words from God specifically what to pray for my students. I have six girls in my classroom. They're all high school aged girls, and they've got some sad stories for their lives. So one day, one of my girls, she had been on the run for a couple of weeks, and because of her probation status, that meant that she was gonna have to get locked up. Typically, when someone is locked up in detention, they are locked up for 2 full weeks, at least. That's the minimum that a judge will give them. So she showed up to school. So then it becomes our responsibility to contact the police, and they have to come and they have to take her. So when she showed up, she stayed in the class for a couple of hours, and then finally the police came, and she went into the bathroom and she started crying, and she knew that this meant at least a couple of weeks away, she wasn't coming back. So I went into the bathroom with her, and I felt God prompt me to pray. So we prayed, and I prayed that God is going to show her favor and that she is not going to spend the next 2 weeks locked up in detention, that she was going to have the opportunity to come back and to be at school the very next day and to go back home with mom where she belongs and things like that. So then I had to go through the heartbreaking experience of watching her have handcuffs put on and walked away, and maybe bolstered my desire to pray that entire night for her, because that's awful. I don't like to watch my girls go through that. So I prayed all night and went to school the next day, and it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and someone called me out in the hallway, and the student came running down the hallway. Miss L, you prayed. Look, I'm here. You prayed. And it was just amazing. And she said, and someone gave me a Bible last night and we were reading it, and I know that the reason that I'm here is because that you prayed. And it was just huge to me, because not only did God answer prayer, I have faith, I know God will answer prayers. Like, I know that. But it was awesome to watch her faith grow as a result of that. And the week before, one of my girls ended up getting relocated, so she had to leave us and go to a new school. And again, we were in the bathroom because she was crying, and I prayed for her. And as soon as I came out and went back into the classroom, the first thing that the other student that I had prayed for said was, "Miss L, did you pray for her?" And I said, of course I prayed for her. So I guess my big point is, the more of God that we have in us, the more of God that we can give to other people. And that's my big message here.
Yeah, I knew 3 minutes, I ain't gonna cut it. All right, I should be at least get, or Maria, you're next.
I'll make it 1 minute.
You're gonna make it 1 minute?
I'll try. Good morning, everyone. Many, many years ago, Pastor John has given us this magazine about how the church is changed, and it is through prayer. But, of course, you know, you're so busy, you only spend a little bit of your time praying, but just this past few months, too, I've been spending more time with God in the morning, and in the evening, before I go to bed, I listen to Joyce Meyer's thanks to Sister Heidi for reminding me of that before. One specific time that God has really spoken to me is, when you go to bed and you lie down and you're like, you get scared of something and you don't even know what, like the future, like what if I get sick? What if my kids get sick? What if my kids are, and then you start going on and on and on and worrying about all those things. And I started to pick up my devotional, and God spoke to me. He has given me Philippians 4:6. Let me see. I memorized this, but I'm just scared right now. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. And then another thing that he gave me was John 14:27 that our family's memorizing for our week's memory verse. He said, peace I give you. Peace I leave you. Peace I give unto you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. And you know what? Every time when I go to bed and I start feeling afraid, I start to just recite all those verses that God has given me and promised me. And it's much, much better to sleep through the night. And even in the morning, I remind myself of these promises. And you know what? It's so easy now. Like if I go to work and someone tells me about something, I don't even ask them anymore, can I pray for you? I just lay my hands on them and pray for them right away. And they're so thankful. You just don't even know. So when you go to work this week, remember to pray for somebody. You don't even have to ask. Just lay. Amen. And you'll be surprised. Amen.
All right. I'm going to do one more. All right, Raymond, why don't you do one more?
I know the other board members are looking at me. Sorry.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Two things God has taught me, you know, not recently, but, you know, in the last couple of months and even years, is regarding my attitude, you know, in prayer and the content of my prayer. But this morning, I'm just going to focus on the attitude, or else we're going to be here until 12 o'clock. But I would like to share with you two verses. Colossians 4:2, and we even had a Bible study regarding Colossians in our small group. It says here, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The second verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you. Amen. You know, when I approach God in prayer, Sharon gave us an example of what how it looks like to pray without ceasing, you know, throughout the day. Every situation is an opportunity to pray. And one of the, you know, I'm a pharmaceutical rep. I go around the state driving. Imagine that, you know, windshield time. And I spend that time praising thanking God and praying. Like I've said, one of the things that God taught me is my attitude in prayer. And it is really humility, a spirit of repentance, and thanksgiving. I'll focus on attitude. It is knowing that God is sovereign, you know. God is in control. And, you know, he's there. He's worthy to be praised no matter what. An example that I'm going to give is, you know, last December 2015, so this is 2 Decembers ago, I lost my job. God, you know, I'm a pretty good, you know, employee. I think, you know, I've done your will. I did, you know, not compromise, you know, at work. It's a tough job. It's a sales job. And so it's tough. But make the long story short, God gave me an even better job. Last January, you know, 2016, and I said, how can I, you know, this is like the ideal job, you know, I like the products, I like everything, but then last December 2016, I lost my job again, and, you know, it's hard to understand in my physical, you know, my mind, but, you know, God has taught me about these things, you know, attitude and content, and, you know, I still really, you know, praise God. Lord, thank you. You're in control. You know, to give you an example of how, you know, how baffling this is in the physical mind, you know, I started the year, you know, the first rankings report came out. I was in the bottom half. We were still new. I said, okay, no, that's not my performance yet. But God, I trust in you. And God has shown his favor all throughout. You know, there are offices that no one has called on before. And then, you know, I just was able to penetrate them. And I could not have done it if God wasn't there. And even my colleagues at work, you know, they asked me to, you know, give my opinion and even pray. You know, after, I receive a call, oh, Raymond, our colleague asked me to call you because she said you're a minister. Or a All right. But and God was good, you know. He was able to share God to my, you know, my teammates, even my manager. And so when that news came last December that I was going to lose this job again, I said, how can, you know, I thought it was, this was already the, you know, the best setup. But, you know, I praised God. I thank God for my ministry, that I'm not only, you know, able to praise Him individually, but I'm also able to lead others to praise and worship Him. So, you know, okay, I'm going to set my, an example here. Try to set an example to my family. God is in control all the time. And make the long story short, one day or 2 days after I received that, you know, I'm losing my job, I got several calls. And now I'm choosing which one. And the good thing is, you know, the first thing I thought that, you know, maybe this is the one where God wants me to be. I did not end up with that job. And this one that I just started on last January 9th, I said, oh God, am I gonna take a pay cut, my two boys in college, especially Renzo who's studying here, and you know, the bills are mounting up. But this is a part of the content that I've been talking about. I'm not going to expound, but even asking about things of self and among things that we ask for ourselves, you know, the necessities in life is just one part of it, really. You know, we ask for God's forgiveness, for God's cleansing all the time, you know, behind what we pray, what we ask, you know, we pray for things of God, and that's revering Him, praising Him, thanking Him for everything. And we're praying about others, you know, our world leaders, our local leaders, our pastors, and then us. But, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when I was given the job offer, they gave me more than what was stated they gave me a contract. It's even far and beyond what I expected. And, you know, I just continue to trust God, you know, moving forward. And I encourage you to also do the same.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a 3-minute testimony. When will I learn? That's all right. But I wanted you guys to understand that, you know, there are times when you don't feel like praying. I mean, but it's an exercise. It's a spiritual discipline. And God does speak to you. God does talk. But you need to position yourself in a way so God can speak to you. So, all right. So did God save Daniel and his friends? Well, I mean, most of us obviously know the end of the story. But isn't that our normal reaction, right? Did God save him? You know, did he come through? I mean, we base if an outcome is happy or not on whether God does what we want him to do or not, right? Isn't that what we, I mean, it's normal. We're human. But is that the right approach? Should it matter if God answers our prayer, or should it matter if God's will is accomplished? That's hard though, right? That's a mark of high commitment, right? When we get to the point in our lives where we can, with all sincerity, pray that way, when we can say, God, you know, we want you to move this way in our life. God, this is the job I want. This is the healing that I want. This is the finances. This is the restoration. This is what I want in my life. But God, if it's not your will, I'm okay with that. You do your will. Matter of fact, if you could only do one or the other, you can do what I want or your will be done, few years. That's impossible, Pastor. Come on. I mean, we're only human. It's not impossible. But it is unless the decision has already been made. You see, if the decision's already that I want God's will done, I want God's will to be accomplished even more than our comfort, our convenience, our fun. Matthew 26, verse 39. It says, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And yeah, that was Jesus. And isn't that our prayer, right? To become more and more and more like Jesus? To be willing to sacrifice everything out of a love for our Father in heaven, who's given everything to us? It doesn't mean we don't ask God. It doesn't mean that you're not, I mean, even Jesus, you know, if this cup can be passed, if there's a different way that we can do this, I'm in. But nevertheless, your will, not mine. So back to Daniel 2, verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings and gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Yeah, that's how great our God is. He is that great. I mean, we love those times of praise. When God comes through, we pray and he does it. And you know what? Take advantage of those times. I'm gonna say that again. Take advantage of those times. We need to allow those times to strengthen our trust, to build our faith, to grow your love for him in ways that times of trouble don't do. Linger in the times when God gives you victory. Allow those to be great times of praise. Celebrate. Allow that to make your relationship with him that much stronger. Don't just approach God during the times of trouble. Shouldn't you be approaching him even more in the times of praise when he's done it for you, when he was victorious? And I love it. Daniel brings the word of the Lord to the king. He brings the dream. He brings the interpretation. But he also does something that many of us forget, or we don't do, or we didn't even think of, or the decision hasn't already been made. He says, no, king, you don't understand. It wasn't me. As a matter of fact, I can't interpret this dream. I can't, but I serve one who can. Verse 26, the king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I've seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologers can bring to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. See, Daniel made it so clear that there was no doubt in the king's mind where this came from. There was no way that Daniel was willing to even touch the glory because it was God's, God's alone. See, Daniel was smart because he knows that the only one who can save people is God. Verse 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell down on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. And that's really what it's all about. It's not pointing people to us. It's instead pointing them to the only one who can save them, the only one who can change them. High commitment people get that. They know that they don't even want to touch the glory. The decision's already been made, and God gets it all. So this week, as we begin a kind of a time of fasting and prayer, let's focus on one thing and one thing only. God is our everything. If we can clearly hear, really, if you can take time and clearly hear from God this week and follow that plan that God has for you, you can stand with confidence knowing that God is going to take care of you in the way that He wants to, not in the way that you want to. But see, it's the maturity to be able to say, I'm okay as long as God's will is done. Because if God's will is done, see, if Jesus didn't have that posture, there would be no forgiveness. He was willing to give all. God is looking for us to have the same love, same sacrifice, same confidence that says, hey, God, as long as your will is accomplished, it will work, and you will be glorified. Amen? Amen. So why don't you stand? See, my prayer for you in this coming week is that as you use this discipline, and this is a discipline, trust me, fasting, praying, it's a discipline. And if you really approach fasting the way that God asks us to, which is to take something that you desire and say no to it. Look, you fasting something that you could give a rip about, it ain't fasting. God, I'm giving up coffee. You don't even like coffee. So big deal. Well, God, I'm fasting going to the gym. Oh, yeah, because I know how much you love going to the gym. No, fast something you desire. Lay it down before God and say, God, now every time that I would have done that or any time that I'm thinking about it, I'm instead going to pray. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to ask God for you to speak to me and to show me your plan, because if I know if I follow your plan, it'll work. And matter of fact, while you're doing this, I would recommend keeping a journal with you. Expect God to speak to you. Expect Him to say something. Expect Him to move on your behalf. Well, you're going to start writing some down. And you know what? As it makes sense, share it with different people, what God says to you. Let people know. You saw the power of testimony, right? People coming up here saying, this is what God did in my life. Well, you know what? As God gives you words, share them. Allow people to benefit. It may be the one word they needed to spur them on to start believing God for more, right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus.